Ekatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're getting into a topic that, well, it definitely gets people talking. School choice.
Oh, yeah. It's everywhere, isn't it? State elections, national debates.
Exactly. And it feels like it often generates, you know, a lot more heat than actual light.
Yeah.
Lots of strong opinions.
For sure. The whole debate often gets stuck in these two extremes, right? Either it's this amazing fix that saves kids from failing schools, or it's this destructive thing draining money from traditional public schools.
Right. Polarized is the word.
So our goal today is really to try and cut through some of that noise. We want to look at what the evidence actually tells us.
And for that, we're leaning on David R. Garcia's book, School Choice. Mm-hmm. It's a really comprehensive look and, importantly, not pushing a particular ideology.
Yeah, it's about the data.
I think that's so important right now because, honestly, the stakes are really high. If you're listening, you probably know that school choice policies, charters, vouchers, these things called education savings accounts, ESAs, they're expanding. Fast.
They really are, all across the U.S., and they're changing the landscape of American education pretty significantly.
And it touches on such fundamental things, doesn't it? Like parental freedom, opportunity, especially for disadvantaged kids.
But also that idea of education as, you know, a public good for everyone. So as choice grows, we really need to understand the actual impacts, not just the arguments.
Okay, so let's talk about our guide through this complexity. David R. Garcia. Why him? Why is his perspective the one we need?
Well, he's a professor, an education policy expert at Arizona State University, Mary Lou Fulton Teachers College. And he's been deep in this research for, gosh, over two decades now.
Wow. Okay. So deep experience.
Yeah. Really looking at how policy, politics, and what actually happens in schools all intersect.
And what I find interesting is it's not just theory, right? He's based in Arizona.
Exactly. Which, as you probably know, is often called the kind of the Wild West of school choice, especially with those ESAs.
Right. So he's seen it all play out up close. He's got that practical, on-the-ground insight that maybe someone just looking at spreadsheets might miss.
That's absolutely key. And it feeds directly into his objectivity, I think. Garcia really commits to the empirical evidence wherever it leads.
Not just confirming what people already believe.
Not at all. His findings often complicate the neat stories people want to tell, which means, you know, he's probably annoyed advocates on pretty much every side of the issue at some point or another.
Huh. Which in this field is probably a sign you're doing something right.
I think so. And critically, he brings this strong equity lens. He pays close attention to how these policies affect minority communities, which sometimes gets lost when we just talk about average test scores.
Okay, so he sounds like the perfect guide. Balanced, evidence-driven, with real-world grounding and an eye on equity.
Exactly.
So let's get into the book itself. What's the big takeaway? The core idea that Garcia puts forward?
The main thing, and it sounds simple, but it's actually quite profound, is this. School choice policies, they aren't just inherently good or bad.
Right. He pushes back against those extreme views we talked about.
He really does. Instead, he argues their effectiveness is, and this is the key word, contingent. It depends heavily on the specifics, how they're designed, how they're implemented, and the local context they operate in.
So that big question, does school choice work? The answer is really, it depends.
Pretty much. It's not a guaranteed win, but it's not automatically a disaster either. The devil, or maybe the angel, is in the details.
I like that. So he's arguing for a much more sophisticated way of looking at it.
Definitely. The book really digs into this core conflict. How do you balance that desire for parental choice, for individual freedom, with the need for, you know, equitable access for all kids, and maintaining education is something that builds community democratic values.
It's not just about market forces.
No, he stresses we have to think about social cohesion, too.
And how does he tackle that?
Yeah.
What's the scope of the book?
It's broad. He looks at the history of how we got here. Then he analyzes the different types of vouchers, charters, open enrollment in public schools. And he explores these interconnected areas. Does it work academically? What are the equity results? Who wins? Who loses? And what happens to the traditional public schools?
Okay, a really structured approach designed to get past the rhetoric.
That's the idea.
All right, let's dive into some of those mechanisms then, starting with charter schools. These are what, publicly funded but run independently?
That's right. They get more autonomy, usually, in exchange for hitting certain performance targets.
And the research, does it work?
Well, this really illustrates Garcia's main point about context. It's complex. You see some studies, especially in urban areas, maybe with high-performing networks like the Success Academy network, which is pretty controversial but gets results. Those sometimes show really positive effects, particularly for low-income students, students of color. Those are genuine success stories.
But that's not the whole picture, is it?
No, not at all. Overall, across the country, the results are very mixed. It really hammers home how critical quality control and oversight are. A charter school is only as good as the people running it and the body authorizing it.
So if the oversight is weak?
The quality can really vary, which shows the limits of just relying on the market to ensure quality.
Okay, so charters are complex. What about the really controversial stuff? Private school choice vouchers, ESAs.
Ah, yes. This is where the debate gets loudest. Often because it mixes public funding with private, sometimes religious, schools.
And the findings here have been surprising.
They really have thrown some curveballs. This is a part Garcia highlights that frankly shocked a lot of choice proponents. Recent large-scale studies of voucher programs in places like Louisiana, Indiana, Ohio, they found negative results.
Negative, meaning the kids using vouchers did worse.
Yes, worse on state tests compared to similar students who stayed in public schools. That really flies in the face of the standard narrative that private schools are always better, or that choice itself automatically lifts performance.
Wow. Why? What happened? Was it just bad private schools?
Garcia helps unpack it. It seems it wasn't always just about the school quality itself, though that played a role. Often, the states involved had very minimal regulations for the private schools accepting vouchers. So you had schools with maybe low teacher qualifications, curricula that weren't aligned with state standards. Basically, without strong accountability tied to the public money, the system didn't produce good academic outcomes in those cases.
That's a huge lesson. If public money follows the student, public accountability needs to follow too.
Absolutely critical. But Garcia also reminds us, hey, don't forget about public school choice options.
Like open enrollment
Yeah,
or magnet schools.
exactly. And often these actually serve more students than charters or vouchers combined, but they have their own
Right,
challenges.
access isn't always equal there either.
Precisely. This leads into what Garcia calls the equity paradox in, I think it's chapter five. On one hand, yes, choice can be a lifeline. It can offer an escape route for families stuck in schools that genuinely aren't serving their kids well. That's a real, tangible benefit for some disadvantaged families.
Okay, so that's the upside. But what's the paradox? How does that benefit also potentially make things worse overall in terms of segregation or inequality? Because the research suggests it can.
Yeah, it's a tough reality. The paradox is that choice systems, unless very carefully designed, tend to favor those who already have advantages.
How so?
Well, think about it. More affluent, more educated families usually have better access to information. They have more time, maybe more flexible work schedules, reliable transportation, stronger social networks.
So they can research options, navigate applications, get their kids across town if needed.
Exactly. They have the resources, what Garcia calls information and social capital, to effectively skim the perceived best options. They hear about the great new charter first, or they know how to work the magnet school lottery.
Leaving families with fewer resources facing more barriers.
Right. They might be stuck with fewer choices, or choices that are practically out of reach. So, choice without very intentional measures to ensure equity, it isn't really equal choice for everyone.
That makes sense. Okay, let's talk about the flip side, the impact on the traditional public schools, the TPS, the ones losing students and funding. Does that competition argument hold up? Does choice make them better?
Garcia looks closely at the research on these competitive effects, and honestly, it's pretty modest and inconsistent.
Not the big improvement story some advocates tell.
Not really, no. Some studies do show small, sort of localized improvements in public schools right when a charter opens nearby, for instance. Suggests competition can spark a little bit of change sometimes. But other studies show negative effects. Losing funding per student hurts. Losing engaged families and often easier to educate students, that skimming effect again can make the job harder for the remaining public schools.
So it's definitely not the silver bullet for fixing the whole system that some promised.
No, the evidence doesn't really support that broad claim. The impact seems much more localized and often balanced out or even outweighed by the loss of resources.
Garcia must have looked at places where choice is really dominant, right? Like New Orleans after Katrina.
Absolutely, that's a major case study. After the hurricane, the city basically rebuilt its system almost entirely around charter schools, a huge, rapid shift to choice.
What did that show? If the traditional school board isn't really in charge anymore, who looks out for the kids? Who ensures the system works as a whole?
It highlighted massive challenges, particularly around governance and community voice, when everything is decentralized, run by different charter boards.
It gets fragmented.
Very. The question shifts from if choice works to how you govern a system based almost entirely on choice. How do you ensure accountability isn't just about individual contracts, but about a collective responsibility to all students? How do vulnerable families navigate that? Big questions.
Okay, so the data on specific types of choice is mixed. Context matters hugely, and even system-wide choice, like New Orleans, raises these deep governance issues. It sounds like Garcia really pivots to how these things are run.
That's exactly right, which leads us perfectly into his core themes, the big messages running through the book.
Theme number one.
Context matters more than policy labels. If there's one thing to take away, it's this. Whether a choice program succeeds or fails depends almost entirely on the local situation, the funding, the rules, the oversight, the community's needs, not just whether you call it a voucher or a charter.
So you could have, say, a really well-designed charter program in one city that works great.
Absolutely.
But take that same label, charter school, implement it poorly in a rural area with no oversight and no transportation, it could be harmful.
Precisely. The label tells you very little on its own. Which leads to theme two, implementation trumps intent.
Meaning how it's actually done matters more than the original goal.
Way more. The nuts and bolts application processes, how information is shared, who provides transportation, what the accountability rules really are, those details determine success or failure far more than the lofty intentions behind the policy.
Okay. And theme three sounds like a direct challenge to the free market idea. Market accountability has limits.
Big time. This pushes back against that sort of Milton Friedman idea that education can work just like a consumer market,
where unhappy parents just vote with their feet and bad schools close.
Right. Garcia argues, and the evidence backs him up, that while parental choice is valuable, markets alone aren't enough to guarantee quality, and they certainly aren't enough to guarantee equity or protect those broader democratic values in education.
Why not? What's different about schools?
Well, choosing a school isn't like choosing toothpaste, right? The stakes are incredibly high. Information is often incomplete or even misleading. Think about school marketing. And the product itself, education, isn't just a private good. It's a public good. It benefits all of society. So the pure free market consumer model doesn't quite fit.
Which ties into his last theme. Education is not a typical market.
Exactly. Parents might not have all the info, or they might be constrained by very real things, work schedules, where they live, transportation. They can't always just pick the best school, even if they know which one it is.
So government oversight, accountability, those things remain crucial. You can't just let the market run wild.
That's his argument, yeah. The invisible hand isn't enough when it comes to educating kids equitably.
Garcia offers some really potent ways to summarize this, some core ideas that stick with you. Like the first one about the definition itself. School choice is not a policy, but a collection of policies.
Yes, which forces us to stop talking about school choice as this single thing. If someone says they support choice, you have to ask, okay, which kind? How does that specific program work? What are the rules? How is it funded? Get specific.
It demands precision. Then there's the big reframing. The question is not whether school choice works, but for whom, under what circumstances, and with what safeguards.
That just shifts the whole conversation, doesn't it? Away from a simple thumbs up or thumbs down, towards a much more nuanced analysis. It's about looking at the design, who it's meant to help, and whether the protections are actually in place. It's a call for real scrutiny.
And the third one really captures that equity paradox. The families who most need educational options are often the least equipped to navigate complex choice systems.
Oof, yeah. That hits hard because it points right at that gap, the information gap, the resource gap. Choice without specific intentional design features like maybe navigators to help families or weighted lotteries giving disadvantaged kids a better shot or guaranteed transportation.
It's not really freedom for everyone.
It isn't. That design element is what makes or breaks the equity piece.
So thinking practically, if you're a parent listening, trying to figure this out for your own kids, what's the takeaway from Garcia?
I think the practical guidance is crucial. First, don't just get swept up in the marketing hype or what you hear casually.
Look deeper.
Yes. Use Garcia's framework. Ask those tough questions. What's the teacher turnover rate here? What happens specifically if the school doesn't meet its goals? What's the real accountability? What support services do they actually offer for kids with different needs, not just what they say on the website?
And be realistic about the practical side too, right?
Absolutely. Recognize that choice isn't real if you can't actually access it. If you're working two jobs and don't have a car, that highly rated charter across town might as well be on the moon. Time, distance, information, those barriers are real and need to be part of your calculation.
Okay, what about for people involved in policy? Advocates, lawmakers.
Garcia basically provides a roadmap for designing smarter choice policies, if that's the route you want to take. The focus has to shift to building inequity from the start.
Like those weighted lotteries you mentioned.
Exactly. Things like weighted lotteries that actively try to create more diverse schools. Mandatory transportation provisions don't make it an afterthought. Clear, unbiased information portals run by a neutral party, not just individual school marketing.
So the goal becomes moving the debate past just for or against choice.
And towards, okay, how do we design this specific program to actually work better, especially for the kids who need the most support?
Which ultimately helps all of us as citizens, right? To evaluate the claims politicians make based on the actual design features, not just the buzzwords.
That's the hope. Informed civic engagement based on evidence.
So wrapping up, what's the one thing that really stood out to you from Garcia's analysis?
For me, it's the hard evidence showing that simply trusting the market isn't wise. School choice needs the same careful design, the same robust oversight as any other major public policy. Those negative voucher results were a real wake-up call that you can't just assume choice equals quality, especially without strong guardrails.
Yeah, I agree. That was striking. For me, it really comes back to that implementation piece. Garcia makes it so clear. Good intentions aren't enough. The details of how a policy is rolled out, the funding formulas, the application rules, the accountability, that's what determines the real-world impact.
Absolutely.
And the biggest insight, I think, is that equity doesn't just happen by accident when you introduce choice. It has to be intentionally designed into the system with concrete safeguards. You have to actively build systems that fight inequality, not just hope choice somehow solves it on its own.
Well said. And maybe a final thought for you, the listener, to ponder. If we design education systems purely around maximizing individual choice, what might we be losing in terms of our shared responsibility for education as a collective public good that binds us together? Something to think about.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.